My name is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Michelle Mazur, and she is so incredible, and I can't wait for you to hear her story and to see her path. I think it really goes along with our purpose series right now, because she really shares how she was working towards this one goal for quite a bit, and then it ended up changing, and that's okay. And I want you to see that and recognize that in her path. I also think you are going to get so much value out of her new book and some of the concepts that she talks about. I can't wait for you to meet her. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to the College Life Podcast. I have an amazing guest on today, Dr. Michelle Mazur, and she is the CEO of Communication Rebel, message strategist and speech coach, host of the Rebel Rising podcast, and author of three books, including one that was just released called The Three-Word Rebellion, which she is going to talk about today, which I'm really excited about. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we're getting to connect. So can you start by telling us a little bit about your path starting in college up until The Three-Word Rebellion, how that came about?
Yeah. So when I first started out, I was an education major. I went to the University of Northern Colorado at first. I was in education because that's a great education teacher college. And I was planning to teach, well, originally I was planning to teach music. Like I went for music education. I was a vocalist. And oh my gosh, I hated being in the music department. And it was this very intensive experience because the first semester as a freshman, you know, most freshmen are taking like all of their like prereqs and getting to explore all these different subjects. I had to take 18 credits of just music courses. And it was fury at 7 a.m. and it was terrible and I hated music theory. It was so, so awful. So in the second semester, I had an opportunity because they give you three whole credits to take something else besides music. Mm-hmm. So I enrolled in an introduction to speech communication class. I fell in love, Alicia. Like I was just mesmerized. Like I couldn't wait to read my textbook. Like how weird is that? Wanting to read your textbook. But I think that's what happens when you find the right subject for you.
Yes, it's so true.
Yes. So for you listening to this, if you are sitting there and thinking, what am I doing in this major? Go explore and you don't need your parents' permission to explore or anyone else's permission to explore. Do it because when you find the right thing, you'll know. And it's so amazing and so exciting. So I ended up switching majors into speech communication and education. And the thing was that somewhere along the line, the education college went through this major overhaul, and I just decided, A, I wanted to be on a speech and debate team, and they didn't have one there. And I hated the direction the education department went. So I made the decision to transfer to the University of Wyoming in like 5 minutes. I swear, like I came home from this meeting in the education department. I was like, nope, not doing this anymore. I called the University of Wyoming admissions department. They sent me everything and I was accepted within a week.
And I was like, this is supposed to happen. Like I was supposed to do this, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I got a scholarship on the speech and debate team. So that was exciting. And I loved being on the speech and debate team, which I know sounds super nerdy, but I got to travel every weekend with a group of really cool people. And it was a lot of fun. Like it was a lot of drinking too, but it was also a lot of fun. I'm not going to say it wasn't. It was definitely a college experience. But because I was on the speech and debate team, I spent a lot of time in the communication department, and all of the faculty knew me because I was around constantly. And one night, one faculty member that I had never had a class with, she never had me as a student. She's like, "Hey, can I talk to you about something?" I'm like, "Sure, Pam, what's up?" And she's like, "Michelle, I really think you need to go to graduate school." And I'm like, "What? Like, what, lady? Are you crazy?"
Yeah.
More school? And I'm like, "Well, what makes you think that?" She's like, "From what I know of you and from what I've heard from the other professors, you are very bright, you are very motivated, you love this field." She's like, "I really think you should apply." And I thought, okay. So I applied for the master's degree program, and I got in provisionally because my GRE math score was like in the toilet, dude. Like,
I can relate.
Yeah. I don't know why geometry is on the GRE. Like,
we don't do any of that in college, hardly at all.
No. And for grad school, you need statistics, not geometry. Like, algebra, I get, but geometry, you know, you will never use that again outside of the stupid test. So, and I love graduate school because, you know, it's smaller classes, and in graduate school, they actually want you to have an opinion and think for yourself. It's not just about regurgitating. And that was a transition for me. Like, it really was this transition. I was like, "Oh, you actually care what I think? What's up with that?"
Right. Love it.
Yes. So that experience led me to my mentor became a very vocal advocate of me getting a PhD. So at the end, I got a fellowship to the University of Oklahoma and got my PhD. And I loved getting a PhD. It was so much fun, more conversations. I'm still friends with those people. And then I became a professor. And that's when I got disenchanted with academia.
Wait, so you worked all this way up, right? And then you're like, "Wait a second, this isn't what I thought."
Exactly. Because I thought being a professor would be just like being a graduate student, where it's very collegial and you're collaborating and you're having these great conversations and these debates. And it was not. It was very political. I got a job at the University of Hawaii. So not only that, I just moved to like one of the most isolated places on the planet. So I got, you know, so it was more competitive. It was very isolating. People really didn't want to collaborate with you. I mean, I had more collaborations with the master student, grad students than I did with my colleagues. And I hated the politics. Like, I loved my students. I loved doing research, but the politics just killed me. But still, I stayed for like 5 years. I did get to go to London for 6 months and teach to study abroad with students from Hawaii. And we went over to London, and that was amazing and super fun.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then in, 2006 or 2007, I quit and left my job and went into corporate, which was another huge mistake. I did market research, which was not a great fit. And then I started the business that I have now. So that's my journey in a nutshell. There's a lot there, I know.
Yeah. So you basically started working for yourself.
Yes. It was a slower transition. So I started my business as a side hustle, which I totally recommend to anyone who's thinking about, okay, I might want to do a business, because if you don't really have business experience, like running a business, there's a lot to learn. So you can run it as a side hustle and, you know, keep the stability and the cash flow of your day job, and then just dedicate, you know, mine was I dedicated 2 hours each morning before work to the business, and then didn't do anything at night because I was exhausted. But yeah, so then I transitioned into doing this business where I was first working with speakers. I've been full-time now for about 4 years, I think, maybe going on five. And now I really focus more working with like change-making business owners and entrepreneurs on creating their messaging mm-hmm. for their business. So how they communicate, how they show the value of what they do, the whole three-word rebellion.
Yeah. So I work directly with college students. So I'm an academic coach and I work a lot one-on-one with students, and they want to have an impact. You know, they really want to make a difference, and they are really experiencing this safety. Like, I need to have this job, even though they have this deep desire to like want to do something bigger. You mm-hmm. know, they're stepping stones, right? Sometimes you do need to get a job and get some experience. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious as to kind of how did the three-word rebellion come about? And then what do you think students can really take away from the message?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just going to hint on the whole safety of a job. Mm-hmm. Your job's not really safe. Like, I got laid off from one of my corporate jobs. And, you know, you think it's like, okay, I get this paycheck every 2 weeks. That's great. But really, that can go away at any time and you have no control. Whereas, like, when you have a business, you can actually decide, like, oh, I need to earn some income here. This is what I need to do. I need to earn some income. So I just want to just say that. So if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I never have my own business because I need that safety and security. That safety and security is an illusion at best. So just wanted to say that.
No, I appreciate you addressing that because I do think a lot of students that I work with directly and then also students who listen to this podcast are very nervous about what is happening outside of graduation.
Mm-hmm. And it's a super scary time and it's uncertain, but here's the thing, like you will get a job. I promise. The economy's good right now. You will totally get a job and you might find that that job's not the best fit for you. So you have to start, if you want to make an impact and you're dedicated to making that difference in the world, then you have to be willing at some point to take a risk. Maybe that's a new job that gets you closer to the impact you want to make. Maybe that's branching out on your own, but it is this leap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the three-word rebellion, that's where we're going next.
Yes.
So the three-word rebellion actually came out of my own leap in my business. So when I first started the business, I worked exclusively with speakers, developing keynote speeches, doing speaker marketing, and it was really fun. However, talking about speaking all the time was soul-sucking because it was all stuff like, how do I get paid? And how do I market myself? And how do I find gigs? And I'm like, ugh. Like, I felt like I could be replaced by a Google search. Like, that is how I felt. And at the end of 2017, I was just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm not making the impact I want to make. And I know that because my why is communication changes the world. And me talking about this stuff, I'm just adding to the noise. But I didn't know what I was going to do next, right? So what I did, it was during Christmas at least, so I had some time off, and I just kind of sat with what's going to come next. And one thing I knew is that my clients used what we created for speaking in all different types of aspects for their business. They would use it for their homepage copy or to do video marketing. So it was amazing for me to see like how my work was being used and not just for speaking. And then the second thing I noticed was I'm really into politics. And I was seeing all of our social movements pop up, you know, things like Black Lives Matter, Me Too, Never Again, even Make America Great Again. And it was cool to me to see how succinctly they could sum up what they were about, right? Just words, and you really know like what this movement is about or what they're after or what you should be doing. And then I also thought about like the business owners and entrepreneurs that I look up to, my role models, like people like Simon Sinek. He has Start With Why, which is a great message. Mel Robbins has the 5-second rule, and I'm like, wow, they do the same thing, like entrepreneurs and social movements. And I got curious and was like, well, what would happen if you took questions that social movements ask? Things like, what are we moving away from? What am I rebelling against? What change do I want to create? And I gave those questions to my clients, see what they would write. And can I use my research skills to like figure out what their message is? And I could. And I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. Like, this is really innovative and different. Yeah. So I told a friend about it who's a book coach. And I told her, like, this is the pattern that I've noticed and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, cool. It's like you're creating a three-word speech. And I'm like, yeah, it's not really a speech. I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, ooh, good. It's close, but it's not right. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to hang out, think about this more. And honestly, it was like right in front of my face. It was, oh yeah, my company's called Communication Rebel. It's the three-word rebellion. Like, duh, it's right there, right there. And that's how it came about. And because I'm an academic, my first instinct was, I'm going to write a book about this. So yeah. That is what I have done, and it is out now.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. And I think even just hearing that little piece, you're using all of these skills that you built through college, through graduate school, through your marketing research. I mean,
yes,
all of those things have led you to this point, but you don't really see that as a college student, right? You could, mm-hmm. could you ever imagine that you would be where you're at right now?
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
That is so awesome. That's really cool. Yeah.
So for college students who might be wondering like, well, why would I need a three-word rebellion? This sounds like it's for business people. I think one of the most powerful things a three-word rebellion allows you to do is to stand in your power and advocate for what you're for and what you're against. So all of the questions that I ask in the book are about, you know, leading your own movement. And when you want to make an impact, when you want to make a difference, you need people to do that. You need people to follow you, to help you create the change you want to create. So I feel like this book allows anyone, because I've heard this again and again, it's like, well, a lot of people use a three-word rebellion. I'm like, yeah, because it can be that guide for you to create the change you want to create in the world. So I think it allows you to articulate those beliefs, your stances, how you want to change things in a way where you can rally people around you and make the difference you want to make.
Mm, I love that. So does your book tell us how to do this?
It tells you how to come up with the message and all the other messages you need to get people to take action. So yeah, it's a very systematic approach. So the book is only in print because this is a book that wants you to write all over it. It wants to go to coffee shops. It wants you to spill wine on it. You know, it wants to be used. And so the book is about, it's an exploration of what you do believe. And then it takes you through the process of how do I find this three-word rebellion? Mm-hmm. And then once you find it, you're like, okay, now what? Like, what do I do? How do I start spreading this message? So it goes through that process as well.
Yeah. And I'm actually in the middle of a purpose series with the podcast right now. And so I think this actually aligns really well with it because it's like, how do you take your values, what you really care about, where your strengths are, what you are really passionate about, and like the problems that we see in our world. And like, how do you make all those align and like a nice little package that really inspires you, but then also inspires other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So, I mean, how would you, I guess the best way to use the book is actually to buy it and actually like write in it and just answer all the questions and really be thinking a lot. So it's not going to be a typical where you just like read and hang out.
No, I mean, the book is an easy read in and of itself. It's really the exercises that are in the book, the way you interact with the book. I almost think it's, you know, it's also like a journal because you are going to like just jot down random ideas as you go throughout your day. And I think it really needs to be used like that because I think a lot of the times we get in our own way of finding figuring out what we should be talking about, what our message is, what we're about, because we get caught up in like, oh, well, how am I going to pull this off? Well, the three-word rebellion is not about the how. It's about getting you in that space of possibility of what you can create. And I think that's the power of it, because you're not going to know the how, and it's going to surprise you how things will like play out, but at least you've opened yourself to the possibility that it can happen. And you can talk about it in a way that makes people care.
Yeah. Which is so hard to do, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because sometimes we don't see the value of what we're trying to do or what we're trying to create, or we get so in the weeds with it that we're just like, I'm going to tell you all the things. And the other person's just like, oh, okay. God, are you still talking? Please, please stop. But the three-word rebellion creates a conversation with people. Because if you tell them what you're leading with, like, you know, when somebody asks me what I do, I say, oh, I create three-word rebellions. And they're like, okay, what is that? And then I can ask them, I'm like, so tell me what you're rebelling against. And they'll tell me, I'll be like, so what kind of change do you want to create? What kind of impact do you want to have? And they'll tell me, and then I just say, okay, so I take those two things and I help you find a message.
Yeah. Have you been able, or would you be willing to share, or able to share a success story that you've seen?
Yeah. I think, oh my gosh, there are so many great examples of three-word rebellions that are out in the wild that people don't even know that they have a three-word rebellion. In the book, there's a lot of different stories. Like one of my favorite stories is from Pod Save America, which I love. Like I think it's my favorite podcast. I listen to it every time it comes out. But the interesting thing is I remember they were saying like the night before they launched, they didn't have a title.
What?
Yeah. Like they were playing with all kinds of things. They had no idea. And all of a sudden these guys are speechwriters. They wrote speeches for Obama, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they thought of God Save America and they're like, oh, cool. Well, what if it was Pod Save America? And it's like, ding, ding, ding. And it works as a three-word rebellion because A, it's familiar to us, so it's very memorable. And it also sums up what their mission is all about, because their mission isn't about just giving you the news. It's about inspiring activism. How can their podcast help save America? And it was just like, oh, so brilliant. It's so clear what they're rebelling against, and it's so clear what you can do to be, you can listen to their podcast and figure out how to be more active.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, ever since I listened to a podcast, another podcast that you were on, and then I kind of just started diving into your work, I feel like I was like, okay, I've been thinking about what is mine, you know, and then I've also been kind of seeing it everywhere too. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. And then I just looked at a friend's Instagram and like I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh. Rebellion. I do think it is inspiring, and it does say a lot about what they do and what they care about.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is exactly what you want to do in as few as words possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. Well, I guess in summary, I'd love to know, or if you wanted to share anything either about your own journey or about anything else related to the book that you think would help college students kind of, I don't know, think through this mess of the life that they're in, but then also really work towards making that change that they do want to see.
Yeah, I think what I would say is keep at it. Like, you hear a lot about fixed versus growth mindset, right? Like when somebody tells you you're smart, you assume the identity of a smart person. And then all of a sudden, if you fail at it, you think, oh, I'm not that smart after all. Versus if you have this growth mindset where it's like, okay, if I put my mind to it, I can do what I want to do. Yes, it's going to take learning. It's going to take effort. I am going to probably fail. And that is okay. But if you really feel passionate about a change you want to create, don't let the setbacks that happen stop you. Know that there is always an option available to you. Do not just go to like the worst case scenario. Oh my gosh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to live in a van down by the river. Whatever your worst case scenario is, it's like, okay, that didn't work out. That's good feedback. At least I know. What can I do next?
Right. Yeah. And I see that in your story, right? Even when you changed direction from corporate America or from academia to corporate America, like you were kind of taking these pivots, but they were actually taking you closer to where you needed to be.
Yes.
Even though they weren't necessarily the best fit forever.
No, they were not the best fit forever, but they, yeah, like everything, I feel like everything I have done has helped me get to this point. And even when it was miserable, even when I lost my job, even when I dreaded going to work, even when I dreaded getting on a plane to go to Hawaii, all of it was in service of me making the difference that I want to make. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I kept going.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, where can people find you? How can we get your book?
My book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the normal places. You can also find out more information about it at drmichellemazur.com/book. And the best place to connect with me is definitely Instagram. I am at Dr. Michelle Mazur on Insta. So
awesome. And I will link all of those in the show notes for you all listening.
Yay.
You can go purchase her book, support her, and then also just connect with you and then on Instagram as well.
Yes.
So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me. Yay.
Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure that you connect with Dr. Michelle Mazur. I am going to have all the stuff that she mentioned linked in the show notes. Don't hesitate to reach out to her. I hope that you have an excellent week.